Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Once a year, we pull a watchword. We have individual watchwords for people to take, and we also have a congregational watchword. And when I first became a Moravian, I wasn't quite clear of what a watchword really entailed. Some called it a holy horoscope. And so if you got a verse of scripture you didn't like, you wanted to put it back and get something else. But I was pleased that Dan Olson actually researched what a watchword was, and you can read it on the back of your bulletin after the service, not right now. But I will quote, he said that he learned for centuries a watchword was synonymous to a password. And we all know how important passwords are, because passwords unlock something. And when you have a password, you're able to give entry into something. Sometimes it's your personal information, and if somebody else gets that password, you're not too happy about it. Sometimes it's some information you might not know. And so I wanted to talk about our congregation's password or watchword for this year. And it's taken from that passage that Tim read. The very last two verses are our watchword. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. It sounds really highfalutin. So we have to look at what came before that to really understand. Paul is praying. And he prays for the church. And he prays that God will open their understanding. And I have to say, if I were Paul and I were writing a letter to the church, my letter would have gone something like this. I'm in prison, and so I pray that the wickedness of Rome will be taken down. And I pray that God will give some of you a holy plan to spring me out of this jail. And I pray that once I'm out, we can go protest and let people know how unjust my imprisonment was. And I pray that the church will have some political power. That's what I would have prayed, but Paul doesn't pray any of that stuff. He prays that they'll come to know Jesus. And in their coming to know Jesus and know the breadth and the depth and the love of God, that when they come to that understanding, then God, who by the power at work within them, can accomplish far more than they could hope or dream. It's hard for me to wrap my head around that. Because when I pray, I kind of look at myself as God's advisor. You know, I've lived a long time, so I can tell God what I think he should do. Does anybody else do that? We give him holy suggestions. You know, this would be really good for me. And I can understand if Paul had said, my imprisonment is not good. I can't be out on the field. It would be really good, Lord, if you sprung me. I want to talk about somebody who came to me some time ago and asked for prayer. This was someone who was an unbeliever, someone who really didn't know Jesus, happened to be my mother-in-law. And you know the old talk about, take my mother-in-law, please? I could have said that. The only thing I had in common with my mother-in-law was my dear husband. And we both loved him. And sometimes I couldn't imagine how he could have come from her. We had absolutely nothing in common. We didn't really like each other. But you know, when you marry into the family, don't you? When I was pregnant and sick every single day, my mother-in-law helpfully said, you know, when I was pregnant, I felt the best I've ever felt in my life. Thank you! After the boy was born and we'd have birthdays, of course, he was part of a church family. So birthdays for the first few years of his life consisted of the fellowship hour. And we would have a birthday cake and invite the entire congregation to be a part of his birthday. And my mother-in-law boycotted. So at year 12 of our marriage, she walked in and sat in the second pew of my church. And being such a kind, wonderful daughter-in-law, I walked up to her and said, Lana, what are you doing here? And she proceeded to tell me that her life was completely shattered. It had fallen apart emotionally, fallen apart spiritually, fallen apart economically. And so I brought her home that day, and we talked, and she asked me for prayer. And of course, she asked me to pray that God would change the situation. Well, every week she came back to church, and every week we prayed. And I wondered how I could encourage her in the faith, because the situation never got better. In fact, it got worse. And so week after week, we would have dinner after church and we would talk about all this. And after a year, when nothing had changed in her life, she said to me, this has been a very tough year, but I am so glad because I've met Jesus. And he's made all the difference. You see, it's wonderful when circumstances can change. But you and I both know that sometimes circumstances do not change. And we are left wondering why. And yet Jesus did, in that situation, abundantly far more than Lana and I could ever ask or imagine. Because what didn't change for her was her personal situation, and yet she gained a church full of brothers and sisters who helped her through the dark times. I had lost my parents just a few months before my mother-in-law walked into the church, and I gained another mother. And I never thought that would happen. We still did not agree on most everything in life. And yet, she became my sister and my mother and my advocate and my friend and my confidant. She happened to die on our 28th wedding anniversary. I think she did it on purpose. Because we'll never forget her. But I think whenever we raise a glass each time we celebrate our anniversary, it will not just be to commemorate the day of death, but it will be to commemorate the fact that when we know Jesus, even when our lives are falling apart, God's grace and change can happen, and he can do far more than all we ask or think. And that is the password for the church this year. Oh, yes, I want success. I want success in ministry. I want us to be put on the map. I'm going to be bragging after church about the ways we've had success. But so much more than that is for us to fall in love with Jesus all over again, to know the breadth and the depth of his love, because then nothing will be impossible in this church body, in our ministry, when we know the grace, the depth, the love of God. And when we go through those difficult times, those times that do not make sense, we do not go through them alone. And God can give to us so much more than what we advise him to give. Let us pray. Oh, that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me, and the fairest of 10,000. In my humble soul I see. Lord, we ask that all that will thrill us this year is hearing your name, proclaiming your name, and walking in your light. In Jesus' name, amen.